Let's stand and sing. To say that was very good singing. Of course, we've got a great congregation that is able to sing, and we praise God for that. You maybe have seen already pictures of Pastor Mark McClurg leaving hospital. And that's good news. A man that was so critically ill with the coronavirus, and today he got out of the Ulster Hospital and he's doing well. So we trust that the Lord will bless this dear man and bless others that are sick and laid aside. On a sadder note, six more people have died in Northern Ireland due to COVID-19. Our thoughts are with the families. Let us bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to commit our gospel service into the care and the keeping of our God. As we meet this way again, remotely over the internet, as the congregation gathers with us at a computer screen or whatever, we pray that we will know the blessing of God together. We thank thee that the doors of this church are still opened for the preaching of the word. We thank thee that the gospel is still being proclaimed from this house. And we thank thee that there are those who are tuning in tonight and listening to what's going on here in Hebron. We do come in the all precious and lovely name of thy dear Son. We're glad tonight that we have a mediator in heaven. We thank thee for the one who is enthroned on high, the Lord of glory. We thank thee that he is our Redeemer. He has saved so many of us by his grace. And it is by the grace of God that we're here. And it is by the grace of God that the work continues. And we praise thee for every open door and every avenue through which we can serve the Lord, among the children, among the youth, among the congregation, even in our prayer meeting times together. Thank thee for the season of prayer this afternoon. Thank thee for so many in our congregation and elsewhere who were engaged at the throne of grace and have been praying over this text. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. And Lord, we're claiming this promise again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are your people. Oh, it's not the governments of the world that are to pray. It's not the political leaders that are to pray. And we are saddened that our leaders have not called the nation to prayer. But Lord, your word tells us if my people, and you are awakening your people in this land, and we praise thee for so many that are gathered at the throne of God and are seeking your face continually during this epidemic. We pray as we turn from our sin and as we seek thee earnestly at the throne of heavenly grace, that we will know the fulfillment of this promise, that God will hear us, that God will forgive us, and that God will heal us, that he will heal the nation, that he will come, Lord, and visit this country. You've used things like this before to speak. And as we come to think about the mighty voice of God that thunders in the world, we pray that you will speak through this service, that you will speak through the pandemic, that you will awaken men, that you will teach us the things that you want us to know, that you will work powerfully in our hearts. And Lord, may it please thee at this time that sinners will be turned to Christ. Lord, open their ear to hear. Open their heart to understand. Help them, Lord, to appreciate that in the midst of calamity, God is speaking, and he's speaking in a most powerful way at this time. Lord, may it lead thousands upon thousands to the Savior. We thank thee for the good news that this Pastor Mark has got out of hospital. Thank thee for answered prayer, and we give God the glory. Thank thee for all the nurses and the doctors were able to do for him physically in the preservation of his life. And we thank thee for the one who is the great physician, his Lord and Savior. And Lord, we acknowledge your hand in this matter as well. And we pray that you will bless this man and bless his wife and his family. And then remember all the others that are still sick and laid aside. Some of them in hospital, some of them at home. Pray again for those connected to our own congregation. Lord, you know them. You know their suffering. You know their pain. You know what they're going through. Stand with them, we pray. Be their refuge and their strength. Uphold them by divine grace. Support them in the hour of trouble. May they know and sense in a very real way the presence of God with them. For thou hast promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We know also that prayer has been requested for young Jean Tweed Jones, and we want to commit Jean into your care as well. She's sick and laid aside at this time. Put your healing hand upon her. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless the ministry over the internet. All that we're seeking to do as a church, we're seeking to continue with the work. We're seeking to get the gospel message out to a needy community. We're seeking to keep in contact with our people, that we might have fellowship the one with the other in the things of God. And Lord, we just commend these things to thee. We pray for your blessing upon every service, upon every meeting, upon every communication that goes out over the internet. May it all be used to bless your people, to bring conviction to sinners and bring them to Christ, and to glorify our God in the midst of it all. For whatever we do with this single eye to honor thee. Hear and answer our prayers, because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to come to the announcements and make them just now at this part of the service. And so it is a welcome to you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I normally welcome the congregation that are sitting here. And then I usually welcome the extended congregation that are out there in homes. But tonight I'm welcoming just the second category of people, those that are joining us in sermon audio and on Facebook. We trust that you will be blessed as you join with us for this service. All our services have been suspended because of the virus. But the work continues, as we have mentioned already today, and as we have prayed over. And so on Tuesday night, there is the Youth Challenge link up at 7 for the children of our church and town. Then on Thursday, it's the midweek service at 8 o'clock. And we will be here back in this pulpit to study the Bible together, to hear from the Lord again in his word, and then to join in prayer the one with the other. Friday night is Youth Fellowship Night, and Samuel will be continuing with the broadcast through Zoom, and the young people will be together. They will see each other, and they will be blessed undoubtedly. Next Lord's Day, broadcasting live, our Sabbath school and our Bible class at 11 o'clock, worship service and gospel service at 7. And we have these prayer requests to leave with you as well. We are keeping in contact with our congregation, especially the elderly and the vulnerable and the sick and those in need. If there is anyone in need and we can help you in any way, please do not hesitate to contact us at this time. We will be working under strict health and safety rules if we have to visit your door and to bring you something. We're happy. These are the ways in which we want to work and operate, to encourage you by a phone call, run an errand, to collect groceries or medication, pray for you at this time, or any other help. And you can contact me, you can contact Alex, or a member of our session or committee. We're ringing round the folks, so expect this incoming week a phone call from somebody here from the church. And we're reaching out into the community as well. Do remember our giving to the Lord's work and the ways in which you can do that. Next Lord's Day, this is the announcement from last Lord's Day, so you'll bear with me, but I'll have to go through these very quickly. This is the leaflet. It's on the Facebook page. If you need to contact us, there's information there. Yes, now we come to this announcement, the FPC Kids. This is the new launch of our mission board to keep in contact with the children of all of our churches, and they can tune in on a Friday night at 7 o'clock and on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. This is a little picture that you should see. Just running through the prayer requests very quickly, we're asking you to continue for an intervention of God with regard to the pandemic that we are facing. We want you to pray for the frontline services, doctors, nurses, paramedics, medical staff, care workers, the police service. This will continue for a number of weeks unless there is a very sudden intervention of God and God turns the tide. We don't know. God can do that. But if not, we will continue over the next number of weeks and we will be remembering those that are on the front line. Many of them are connected to us. Some of them are from the church. Some of them are from our families. And they're much in our thoughts and prayers. Remember the broadcasts as they go out. Pray over these things as the young people and the children and, of course, the adults of the church are catered for as far as ministry is concerned. Pray for the little broadcasts that we're seeking to put out every day, that the Lord will bless these as he has done, and pray that the voice of God will be heard. We've mentioned this to you, political leaders, godly leaders, the Lord's people, the unconverted, and the message will become all the more real to you tonight as we come to it in the scriptures. And then these are the ones that we are remembering at the throne of grace. You normally get the printed copy on the announcement sheet. That's not available now, but it's here and you can think about it. Pray over these names. And we've been asked to add young Jean to this list. Pray for all of our missionaries in the various parts of the world. Many of them are shut in like ourselves. In fact, all of them are. Pray that God will give them grace. And for this new ministry among the children, for those responsible in getting out the messages, and for the children who listen in. Now we're going to sing together the hymn 266, I Will Sing of My Redeemer. And it may be someone different that's going to introduce this. I just can't remember. But nonetheless, we're going to sing it. Think about the words. May there be a blessing as we are led to the cross of Christ and the great Redeemer who purchased eternal salvation for us. 266.
Thank you.
Are not these wonderful words as we think of our Redeemer? To be able to sing about him, to be able to praise him. And what a joy it was just to listen to that hymn afresh. Wherever you are listening in to us, we do bid you a very warm word of welcome. People in Ballymoney are listening, people further afield. I was greatly encouraged, as I always am, to hear from Hubert and Barbara Larravee from Connecticut in the United States of America. And if you are tuning in from different places, we could do with a wee bit of encouragement just to know that you're with us, that you are being blessed in any way, and why not write in, text in, and let us know where you're from and if you've been blessed in some way. Now, we're coming to think about God's voice, God's thundering voice. And so we're turning for our Bible reading tonight to the Psalm 29. As we think of the coronavirus, I want us to think about God's thundering voice. Now let's read these words together. The Psalm 29, verse 1. Give unto the Lord, ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf, and discovereth the forests. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen. May God bless the reading of this psalm to all of our hearts. We'll bow together in prayer. Our Father, it was a joy to think of the words of that hymn, I will sing of my Redeemer. And you have led us in this song to the very heart of the gospel. We have been brought to view Christ and his wondrous work at the cross. And we want to proclaim that great work. We want to tell sinners that there is a way back to God. From the dark paths of sin, there's a door that's open that all may go in. It's at Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as sinners to God. We pray your blessing upon what we've read in your word. And as we think tonight of your mighty voice, we pray that thou will come among us, that thou will speak to our hearts just where we are, just where we're sitting. Oh God, come and open our minds and open our hearts to divine truth. And help this preacher in the midst of what is really difficult, unusual circumstances in an empty church, but preaching out there to the congregation where they are. Help me, Lord, to preach your word. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh in me and baptize me, Lord, with new power in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. David in this psalm is giving emphasis to the mighty voice of God. The little phrase here, the voice of Jehovah, it's the word Jehovah here in the original, or the voice of the Lord, is recorded seven times in this little song. And what is being highlighted and stressed again and again is the fact that God's voice is very powerful. Now we'll come to see that just in a few moments' time. David begins his writing by exhorting the people of God to give the Lord something. At a first reading, it seems strange, a very strange concept, how that we can give God anything. God, who is the sole possessor and owner of all things, the one who gives us all things to enjoy, the many blessings and the benefits that he heaps upon us. Well, of course, there are many things in this sense that we can give to the Lord. We can give to him our hearts. He says, "My son, give me thine heart." We can give to him our worship, and that's what we have been seeking to do under these more difficult circumstances today on the Sabbath day at all the meetings. We can give to God our obedience. We can give to him our loyalty as we recognize him as our King and Lord. We can give to him our service. We can give our time. We can give our energy. We can give our bodies, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And so the list goes on. And here in the Psalm 29, we are to give God glory and strength. David is addressing the mighty, as we read it here in the opening verse, or the mighty ones, those who are regarded as the great people upon the earth, and that might be a reference to the kings and the leaders through the nations of the world. Some take the reference here to mean angels. They are mighty ones, as the phrase elsewhere has been used to denote heavenly bodies. We think of the sons of God that we read about in the book of Job. Job chapter 1 and verse 6, chapter 2 and verse 1, chapter 38 and verse 7, and in Psalm 89 and verse 6. So these mighty ones, whoever they are, whether it's the kings of the earth or whether it's the great angels of God or maybe a combination of both, they are to give God glory and strength. Now, they are not attributing to God something that he didn't have before. They are recognizing that the Lord has a glory and a strength that far exceeds their own. Spurgeon said, "Neither man nor angels can confer anything upon Jehovah, but they should recognize his glory and might and ascribe it to him in their songs and in their hearts." And that's what David is doing here in this psalm in the opening verse. We could put a little title upon this psalm: "The Voice of the Lord in the Storm." In poetic beauty, these words describe the strength of the storm, and understands it as the voice and the power of God. I am led here in this song to consider the mighty power, authority, and command of God, his voice when he speaks in this way. It's the kind of voice that makes us sit up and pay attention. Now, often God speaks through the still, small voice. After his juniper tree experience in 1 Kings chapter 19, you remember Elijah fled because he felt threatened by Jezebel, and he fled out into the wilderness a day's journey. And in that great hour of depression in his life, he sat down under the juniper tree, and he wished to die. "Oh God, take my life." He didn't feel that it was worth living any longer as a prophet of God, despite the mighty things that he saw the Lord do. And there he is, sitting in this state of great depression in under the juniper tree, wishing to die. But after that experience, the prophet Elijah went to Mount Horeb, where God tells him to stand upon the mount before the Lord. This dear servant of God was going to learn something about the voice of God. God caused a mighty wind to pass by that rent the mountains, that broke the rocks, but the Lord was not in the wind. And then there comes the great earthquake, that great tremor all around the prophet, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. There was a third phenomenon, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And then we read, after the fire, a still small voice. And this is how God spoke. And this is often the way that God speaks to men. More than often, quietly, gently, tenderly, and yet effectually to their heart. Most frequently, it is through our devotions. So we take down the Word of God, we read the Scriptures of truth, and as we read down the verses, God speaks to our hearts. Very often, it is through the ministry of the Word. We come collectively. We can't do it in these days, but you're doing it out there on the internet, but we come collectively, usually, into the house of God or to the midweek meeting, and we sit beneath the study of the Word of God, and God speaks to us through the ministry of the Word. Sometimes it's through a friend or a family member, and very simply, they have a word from the Lord for our hearts. It might even be through the circumstances of life, and it's just a loving and gentle persuasion of heart. But we know that God has spoken. We know that God has put his finger upon something in our lives. We know that he has applied a divine truth, or he has given us guidance in some way. And that ought to be the experience every day of the child of God. Oh, dear believer, God ought to be speaking to you in the still small voice. As you get into your closet for prayer, as you take down the Word of God, you read the Scriptures, you go down the verses in your daily meditation, God will speak to you, and he should be speaking to you, and you will hear through the Word of God that still, small voice of the Lord as he ministers his Word to your heart. Then sometimes, usually, when all else has failed, or whenever the still small voice has made a little impression upon us, God comes to speak through the storm. He causes great convulsions all around, like the description that we have here in the Psalm 29, and it causes us to sit up. And he's got our attention now. All right. Well, we need to be careful to heed his voice and to listen to what he's saying in such times. If we have failed to listen to the still small voice of God, now the Lord brings the storm. Now the Lord causes great eruptions round about us. He brings us into that time of great distress. He has a word for us. He's speaking to us, and it behoves us to pay attention and hear what he is saying. A storm has come to the nation. In fact, a storm has come to the world, to the nations of the world, in the form of a virus, COVID-19. We have never seen in our lifetime such a thing that has caused the world to sit up and take stock. Countries right around the globe are in lockdown. 1.3 billion in India, one of the largest populations of any of the countries. There's three great populations, China, India, and Africa. And in this country, lockdown. I've been speaking to our brother Dipankar, at least by texting back and forward, and he is just telling a little bit about the condition of his own country and what's happening there in the land of India. And we think of China, where this virus broke out, and how it is in a kind of lockdown situation. They're not letting anybody in, or as they do let people in, it's under the strictest of circumstances and all the tests that need to be done. And now that they've almost got rid of the virus from their country, they're not going to let it back in again. And then we think of Pakistan. And although the cases are not as widespread there, yet they're in lockdown. This lady that we're in contact with, she tells us how the shops are closed and the dire situations that they're facing in these days. You think of the United States of America. You think of New York, especially, that has become the center of the outbreak of the virus. We think right across Europe and here also in the United Kingdom. Schools are closed, universities closed, shops and businesses, restaurants, play parks, public houses. I suppose that it's a good thing that there are certain places that are closed. In fact, our brother, Pastor Dennis Lyle, was communicating with me and shared some information with me. I want to read just a couple of things. Today, all the Las Vegas hotels have closed, the largest gambling clubs in the world, by the command of God. Today, the streets of prostitution in Amsterdam are closed, whose income exceeds $10 billion a year, by the command of God. Today, all countries of the world have closed down nudist clubs, gays, nightclubs, bars, and many restaurants by the command of God. So, in a sense, the closure of some of these places is a good thing. And then we think of our own situation, where churches are closed. But my friends, the work of God goes on, and we seek to maintain a cause in this land, and for us, a cause in this very town where we live. The death toll rises. United States of America, Italy, Spain, United Kingdom, Ireland. Here in Ulster, we've heard of 6 more people dying because of the virus today. And the crisis is still to reach the peak over the next couple of weeks. Governments are seeking to suppress that line or that peak and to bring down the outbreak of the virus. So undoubtedly, we are in a storm, a worldwide catastrophic storm. In the midst of this turbulence, we discern the voice of the Lord. That voice that thundereth, that voice that is powerful, that voice that is full of majesty, that breaks the strongest cedars, that divides the flames of fire, that shakes the barren wilderness and demonstrates its authority in nature. And that voice that brings us to the place where we conclude in the 10th verse of this psalm, "The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever." Do you know what the psalmist is teaching here? Do you know what the Lord is saying to our hearts here? He's telling us God is still on the throne. The Almighty reigns supreme. He is in charge. He is governing the world. He's ruling supreme in everything, including this virus. The reference here is all the more remarkable when you consider what David is referring to in this flood. David saw the storm bring a deluge of rain, and it made him think of the Genesis account of the flood. Because the word that is used here for flood in the original language is only used elsewhere in the Bible to describe the deluge in Noah's time. David contemplating the stormy flood, it reminded him of the staggering power and justice of God when the flood came and destroyed the old world in Genesis chapter 6. The flood was a radical expression of God's omnipotent power, one who rules with absolute dominion, who exercises his authority in the world. Praise God, he is king forever. And this needs to be stressed today in the midst of the pandemic. God is on the throne. Never lose sight of that fact. But the question is, do we hear his voice? In the midst of the flood, in the midst of the storm roundabout, do we hear the voice of God? The thunder is poetically and instructively called the voice of the Lord, since it surpasses all other sounds. I remember, it's quite a few years ago when I was a minister in Porto Voge, I remember sitting in a prayer meeting. It was a men's prayer meeting on a Friday night. maybe just a dozen or 15 of us gathered. The darkness had come down, so it must have been around the winter period of time, or certainly when light was not so plentifully. And as we were sitting there, engaged in prayer at the throne of grace, there was this. Well, it certainly sounded like a mighty explosion. It stopped the prayer meeting. It put out the lights. And we felt for sure that terrorists had come and they had bombed something, maybe even the church. It was that close. And we went outside to see the damage. But there was no damage. You know what it was? It was a thunderbolt. A mighty, mighty thunderbolt that shook the village of Port of Oge. Such a sound inspires awe, instills fear, and grips the attention. It is a sound that is entirely independent of man. The thunderstorm has come. It is sweeping across the world with an alarming force, like a mighty tsunami. Are you listening? Are you discerning the voice of God? What is happening right now with this virus? My friends, I'm asking you, does it make you sit up and think? It ought to. Alas, some men's hearts are so hard and insensitive to the voice of God. They will not even hear God speaking when it is the thunderstorm. And that's a very sad thing. Others will sit up and they will listen. And I pray that that will be you. If you're listening in tonight, especially if you're not converted, my friends, I trust that you will sit up, pay attention, and hear what God is saying to your heart. It'll bring you to think about your need, about your soul, about eternity. It'll bring you to consider these matters. It will bring you maybe even to read the Word of God. Didn't we hear of a certain place in America, I think it was Walmart, where the Bibles were cleared of the shelves because of what was happening? People ran to buy a Bible and they began to read the Word of God. I pray that people in Ulster and people throughout the United Kingdom will be running to get the Word of God and taking it down and reading it. It will bring you to listen to sermons. It will bring you to hear the witness of your family and your friends who are Christians. It will bring you, I trust, to obey the Lord and to take heed to your soul and to your eternity. My dear friends, there's power here in God's voice when it thunders. Scientists calculate that a typical thunderstorm, not even of the magnitude that David is describing here in Psalm 29, releases around 10 million kilowatt hours of energy. Now that's the equivalent of a 20 kiloton nuclear warhead. Storms still are examples of God's massive power. The voice that breaks the cedar in Lebanon, well known for their size and their strength. The voice that divides the flames. The voice that shakes the wilderness. The voice that causes deers to give birth is the voice that I hear in the world today, causing men to sit up, look up, and I trust, shut up and pay attention to what God is saying. This is the voice that is calling sinners to repentance. This is the voice that is saying, I am God. I am on the throne. I am the judge of the world. I am the one who gives to men life and breath and all things. I am the one before whom you will stand one day at the great judgment bower. And God is speaking, my friend, in the storm. This mighty voice of God is being heard. And what's he saying to the unconverted? He's saying to you, prepare to meet thy God. You need to prepare. He's saying to your soul, repent or perish. He's saying, turn from your sin. He's saying, obey the gospel. Flee to Christ. Get into the hiding place, the refuge
for your soul, which is none other than Jesus Christ. He's saying, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. He's saying, don't you turn away from my voice. That's what he's saying. The storm has been sent. It's the messenger of God. It was the messenger of God for Jonah, a fleeing, faltering, disobedient preacher. And maybe this storm that we're facing today is going after some faltering, disobedient Christian. Jonah, called of God to preach the word, to bring the warning of God to the great city of Nineveh, fled in the opposite direction. He went down and boarded a ship and went out into the midst of the sea, but God sent a storm, and that storm awakened Jonah to his need. And in the midst of that storm, when he was cast into the sea and swallowed by the great fish, God spoke to him again. God got his attention, but it had to be through a storm. It was so for Peter. Made him look to Christ. You remember on that occasion that we read about in Matthew 14 and verse 30. When the Lord, in the midst of the storm, said to Peter, come, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30 tells us, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Oh, that storm round about the servant of God, when he got his eyes of Christ, caused him again to look to the Savior and to cry out, Lord, save me. It got his attention. It was so for John Newton, the author of that wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You see, this was his personal testimony. We can say that this is the personal testimony of every Christian. And every one of us who are saved can speak about the grace of God that saved us and saved a wretch like we were. But he, John Newton, was that wretch. He was that sinner that was far from God, a slave trader, a blasphemer, a rebel, an immoral man, as far away from grace as a man could ever be. At the age of 11, he joined his father's ship, launching out into that very exciting life of voyaging, sailing, and fulfilling his dream. But that dream turned out to be a nightmare because he entered into a wild life of sin and disgrace. But God got his attention and he used the storm. It was back in 1749. Newton's slave ship was nearly wrecked in an intense storm, and it was off the northwest coast of Ireland where that storm took place. In the midst of the tempest, surrounded by crashing waves, cutting winds, creaking timbers, and the crew of slaves, John Newton fell to his knees and he pleaded for the mercy and for the grace of God. And that day he got converted, but it took a storm to awaken him. The voice of God, you see, it's under us. What storm will it take to bring you to Christ? What tsunami must overtake your life to make you sit up and listen to what God is saying? What thundering voice of the Lord will it take to bring you to your knees to seek the Lord? I'm asking you that question. Broken health? Must the Lord take away the enjoyment of your health in order to speak to you? Pain, the stress of body? A sudden death? Well, the Lord has used that storm many a time to awaken sinners. A dear one is snatched away. A beloved friend is taken away. And that has been the very storm, the very tsunami, the very thunderbolt that has made
that individual sit up and take stock. Is it going to take that for you? A fearful accident, the loss of a child, some kind of financial crisis or other crisis coming into your life. COVID-19, is this the storm that God has raised in your life to make you think about your soul and about eternity and your need to be right with God? What will it take to bring you to your senses? Is God not speaking right now? Is his thunder not heard in this pandemic? Have you not been brought into the storm and the gale of fear and anxiety? Have you not been looking up in these days? Have you not been reading your Bible? Have you not been thinking about your soul? Have you not been considering your eternity? Have you not been pondering over your eternal destination? Have you not been brought to view a dying Savior crucified for your sins? You ought to in this storm, as the voice of God thunders and makes you sit up. Martin Luther, the German reformer, faced two near-death accidents which shook him to the core. In 1503, while traveling home for Easter, the sword that he was carrying cut his leg and severed a main artery. He nearly bled to death before a doctor was found to stitch him up. And then on the 2nd of July, 1505, Martin Luther was returning to university on horseback when a lightning bolt struck near him during a thunderstorm. And he cried out, remember, he didn't know the Lord at this time, help, Saint Anna, I will become a monk. And he became a monk. Becoming a monk didn't save him. Becoming a monk didn't do anything for him, in fact. Because all the measures that he took and all the things that he followed as a monk never brought peace to his soul. But in that environment, he was brought to study the Word of God. And eventually he was brought to see that the just shall live by faith. But my dear friends, his conversion began in a thunderbolt experience. He eventually came to realize the way of salvation and peace. But it was that in his life that awakened him, that shook him, that began to cause him to think about eternity and his soul and where he would be in the hour of death. The voice of the Lord is a loud, thundering voice. The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a majestic voice. The voice of the Lord is a breaking voice. Oh, may it break you. May it break your heart, melt your soul. The voice of the Lord is a dividing voice. The voice of the Lord is a shaking voice. May it shake you to your core. The voice of the Lord is a moving voice. May it move you to seek the Lord. Oh, my friends, God is speaking to you in these days. Are you listening? Are you heeding? Are you responding? I say to you now in the words of the hymn writer, come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in his word he has shown us the way. Here in our midst, he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. Will you come to Jesus Christ now? As the voice of God thundereth in the midst of this virus that is spreading through the world, this voice that is making us all sit up and take stock, will you not now hear from heaven, hear what God is saying, and obey the gospel and come to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? That is our prayer, that is our desire, that God will move in such a way in your heart at this time. Now, there is a hymn that we're going to hear in closing, but before that, I'm going to pray with you. Let us all bow together before the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we know that this coronavirus is indeed God's thundering voice, for God speaks in such times as this.
And Lord, we do believe that through the world, even though you are chastening so many, there will be those who will be brought to their senses and who will awaken and who will seek the Lord. And this is your mighty purpose. This is your mighty purpose for them, that they might come to know the Savior. We pray that it might be so tonight. Lord, speak just where the sinner is sitting. Open their heart now to Christ and his gospel. And may they call upon the name of the Lord that they might be saved. Oh, we thank thee that you are still in the soul-saving business. Move, we pray, this night for your honor and for your glory, and set your seal upon this service for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, the closing hymn is 239. It might very well be that you are opening your hymn book at home, and you're listening at least and following the words, maybe even singing along. We trust that the Lord will speak to us now in this closing hymn. Precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners. I want you to know tonight, shed for thee. You need to come to be washed in the blood of the Savior, that your sins might be taken away. Think of the words as you hear them sung now at the close of the service.
Think of the marvelous truth as we stand to sing.
Thank you.
accompanied without the piano and the organ, and then we'll come back to the music for the seventh verse. Precious blood, by this we conquer.
Blessing just to listen to that hymn about the blood of Christ. Can I appeal to you as this service ends to come to Christ? Come to the precious, precious blood of Jesus. Verse 3 tells us, though thy sins are red like crimson, deep in scarlet glow, Jesus' precious blood shall wash thee white as snow. That's what Christ can do for you in the midst of these days when God is speaking through the virus. The voice of the Lord is powerful. Will you not seek Christ? Will you not come to the cross by faith and wash and be made clean? Oh God, dismiss us now in your fear with your love upon us. Continue to speak when the voice of this preacher is silent. We thank thee that there's another preacher, the greater preacher, even the blessed Holy Spirit himself, the voice of the Lord that is so powerful in hearts. May that voice be heard. We pray that sinners will be brought to Jesus Christ this very night, here in Ballymoney and further afield. For Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.